Scripture reading this morning will come from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 21. Ephesians 5, 15 through 21. It's page 978 if you have a pew Bible. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ.
Morning. Please have your Bibles open to Ephesians 5, where Jordan just read for us. We will be there in just a moment. And before we get to that, I just want to say a couple of quick things. First of all, several of you are visiting with us today, and we are grateful for your presence. And if you happen to be from this area and you're looking for a church home, we would love to be that home and that spiritual family for you. And if at any point you'd like to speak with any of us, but maybe especially one of our elders or myself, we would be happy to do so. And if you'd like to learn more about us, you can also visit our website, which is morristownchurchofchrist.com. With that being said, we have new members of our family this Sunday. You might have seen in the newsletter that Jimmy and Retta Parsley have expressed their desire to be a part of us, and we're grateful for that. Jimmy and Retta have been with us for some time, and they've also been spending some time back home in Ohio as well. We do welcome Ohio State fans among our fellowship. It challenges some of us spiritually, but it's good for us. Jimmy is sitting back there on the back pew, and Retta, if you don't know this already, is LaDonna May's sister. We won't hold that against her either. I love you, LaDonna. So, we're grateful to have them a part of us, and I hope you can welcome them among us as well. Also, if you're visiting with us, this year, 2018, each year our elders select a theme for us to focus on in our lessons, sometimes in our Bible classes. And our theme this year has been "The Spirit Gives Life." We've especially looked at the Holy Spirit. Who he is, what he does, what Scripture tells us about him. And hopefully for those of our church family, you've grown a lot this year in knowing more about what Scripture says about the Holy Spirit, because frankly, sometimes we don't give him the attention that even Scripture gives. Sometimes I've said this, I've been guilty of saying this and thinking this, and I've heard others say this, you know, the Bible just doesn't tell us a whole lot about the Holy Spirit. But actually, as you read the New Testament, you find out there's a lot more said about the Holy Spirit than we realize. Now, with that being said, some of us still sometimes might ask this question: well, how do I know if I'm walking by the Spirit, living by the Spirit? How do I know if I'm filled with the Spirit? And that's a fair question to ask. And sometimes people are challenged by, you know, I see these promises and I can read these passages, but how do I know that the Holy Spirit is working and active in my life? Well, today we're going to explore just one answer to that question. And I'll go ahead and tell you, I'm pretty much going to tell you the whole sermon right here. That one of the ways in which you can tell whether or not the Spirit is living and active in your life is whether or not you're thankful. Whether or not you're a person who gives thanks and you're grateful and you live with that gratitude on an ongoing basis. Now, that's not the only answer to the question of how do I know that I'm living by the Spirit and I have the Holy Spirit and His fruit in my life. But what we're going to find today is that one of the works of the Spirit, one of the byproducts of His presence in our lives is just gratitude, living grateful lives. I love Thanksgiving. I've said that many times to you all, and I enjoy different holidays for different reasons, especially now that, you know, we've got kids and that changes the way you see certain holidays. But Thanksgiving has, for me, the word holiday, it comes from these two words, holy day. And to me, Thanksgiving is just a holy day. It's a day in which, for me at least, I'm reminded I need to take more time in my life to be thankful and to reflect upon who God is and what He's done for me and what He's provided for me in my life. It's a humbling day, and I hope for you all that in whatever way you use the time this week that you're afforded, that you take time to really consider who God is and what He has done. I'm being a little bit facetious, I acknowledge, when I say this, but one thing I like about Thanksgiving as well in our society is nobody complains about Thanksgiving. You know, we've gotten to this place where people can just sort of be cynical and difficult about different holidays, but you don't see that associated with Thanksgiving, do you? You don't turn on the news and you don't hear about people who want to take the thanks out of Thanksgiving and people debating that issue. You don't hear people debating about whether you're a Christian, an atheist, or some other religion, whether or not you can celebrate this or not celebrate this, and whether or not you can have pilgrim hats and cornucopias and turkey decorations throughout your community. You don't hear people talking about that stuff. One thing that you just seem to find is people commonly recognize that there is a need for giving of thanks. Psalm 92 verse 1 says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord." Now, I realize that not everybody, when they give thanks, are giving thanks to the Lord. But here's the reality. If you're giving thanks, there's got to be somebody on the opposite end receiving that. And whether we actively acknowledge that or not, there is a sense in which people during this time of year say, you know what, I just need to be thankful. I need to be grateful. And that's good for all of us, no matter who we are or where we come from or even what we believe. But for the Christian, the concept of giving thanks should really be taken to a whole nother level, because it's about a lot more than just food and stuff and material things. We'll talk a little bit about that later on. But as you read Ephesians 5, actually as you read so much of the New Testament, you're going to find that the giving of thanks, I'm not here talking about just a holiday, but the act and the practice of being thankful, of being grateful, it does so much, it accomplishes so much good in the lives of believers. And maybe we even overlook that blessing and that benefit of both the Holy Spirit and the giving of thanks. And we're going to consider how the Holy Spirit and thanksgiving are closely related here in a moment. But this morning I want us to see how thanksgiving changes us, how being a thankful person changes us. And it begins at the first part of Ephesians chapter 5. And what we're going to find here is Paul tells us that thanksgiving changes sin. Now, when I say it, I don't mean it changes what sin is, but it changes the sin that has been in our lives, hopefully in our past, and fills us with something new and something better. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. There, in the midst of talking about putting on the new man of Christ, Paul is going to write this. He says, "But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving." That's a rather interesting contrast when you read a lot of what Paul lists in verses 3 and 4. He's going to list a lot of sins, whether it's in action or in speech or in thought, that are associated with just sort of vulgar and immoral stuff. But he also includes this word in verse 3, covetousness. How does covetousness fit the context of these other things that Paul is talking about in verses 3 and 4? And I think largely, when it comes especially to sexual sin, whether it's in deed or in thought, it's largely covetousness, that kind of covetousness, is largely a byproduct of not being thankful and not being grateful for where I am in my life, the relationships or relationship when it comes to marriage that I have in my life, or the position in which God has put me as I currently exist. Here's a broader way of thinking about this. As soon as I quit being thankful and grateful for the things I have in my life, the situations that I occupy in life, the opportunities that have been afforded me. As soon as I begin looking out at other things, I look at your life and I see you have things that I don't have. What's going to happen to me spiritually? That's where sin creeps in. I'm not content. I'm not grateful. I'm jealous. I'm envious. I covet somebody else's stuff. If I'm not grateful and thankful, that sin can overwhelm me and I fall prey to it. That stuff can be material things that you possess. That stuff can be my neighbor's wife. That's the way the Ten Commandments talks about it. And I think that's the kind of thought that Paul is getting at here. This idea of looking at other people, other situations, the possessions of others, and thinking, I want, is there something going on over here? Everybody's watching out a window. One of our security people on that? All right, thanks, Jeff, sorry. Hey, I'm up here talking and like 30 people are looking out a window. So I'm like, there's something better going on over there. So I might as well acknowledge it. So, all right, we got somebody taking care of it. But the reality of things is when I begin looking at you, looking at your life, looking at your relationships, and I'm not thankful for the things that I have, that's where sin takes over. And this passage is all about, you go back to chapter 4, verse 20. This passage is really all about us becoming more like Christ. I'm sure when Christ walked the earth, he could have looked at so many of the other things that people had and the relationships they enjoyed and thought, I don't get to do these things. I don't get to enjoy these things. But that's not the way he lived. He didn't live with covetousness. Verse 20 of chapter 4, Paul writes, but that is not the way you learned Christ. And here he's going to start talking about what it means to put off the old man of sin and put on the new self that's modeled after the image of Christ. And who's a part of that process? The Holy Spirit is. Skip down to verse 30 of chapter 4. Paul says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Part of the purpose, and one of the things we've explored this year with the Holy Spirit, is part of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives is to conform us into the image of Christ. To put off that old self, where we did our own things, where we coveted, where we envied, where we were jealous of people. And instead, be content. Be thankful. As Paul says in verse 4, instead of all these other things which are out of place, let there be thanksgiving. Everything checked out okay. I got a thumbs up back there. Thank you. But when I am thankful, I don't allow myself, and the Holy Spirit is preserving me from all these temptations and sin. But that's not the only thing that thanksgiving does, or that thanksgiving changes. As you get later into Ephesians chapter 5, thanksgiving changes worship. As you read this passage, the passage that Jordan read for us, in verses beginning in verse 19 especially, where Paul talks about, into verse 18, being filled with the Spirit. And he says that we address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. And then he continues by saying, giving thanks always and for everything to God. When we think about worship, what moves, what motivates our worship? First of all, does it begin with us being filled with the Spirit? That's what Paul talks about at the end of verse 18. Being filled with the Spirit. Now, that terminology, Paul is not saying, just have a little bit of the Spirit in you. Just have a touch of the Spirit. Just, you know, partially be in contact with the Spirit. He says, be filled with the Spirit. And then he continues by talking about especially singing to one another. Expressing our gratitude and our joy and our praise to God. In this passage, particularly in song. Colossians 3:16 is a parallel passage. You'll be on the screen. Paul there writes this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Is our worship a byproduct, first, of the Spirit's presence? And because of the Spirit's presence, our gratitude and our thankfulness for everything that God has done for us and everything that God is. Our kids sometimes sing, "I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart." What about us adults? Do we have the joy, 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 joy down in our heart? Do we have gratitude and thankfulness deep down in our hearts? Well, if you believe Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3, if we have those things, we should just burst forth in song. Actually, as you read these passages, it's not just talking about what we do when we come together inside of a worship service. This is just a part of this new man in Christ. I'm a person who has a song in my heart and a song on my lips because God's so good. And I want to tell other people about it. Does the world recognize us as Christians? Not just for the fact that we believe certain things and practice certain things, but because we're people of joy and gratitude. Or do we, some of us talked about this in our mustard seeds class this morning, we keep our praise and our gratitude, we sort of bundle it up and we're tight-lipped about, well, we don't want people to get the wrong idea. We don't want people to get the wrong idea that we're grateful for God. That's certainly what the world needs more than anything else. Actually, it's what we need as well. And certainly when Christians come together, if we have that shared gratitude for who God is and what He has done, it changes worship. It changes how we worship, how we feel, how worship changes us. In many ways, we just burst forth. That's the idea that you get from these passages. And going back to that passage in Ephesians 5, our third and final point this morning is thanksgiving doesn't just change and do away with the sin in my life, and it doesn't just change how I approach and what I get out of worship. You know what? It actually changes everything. Do we believe that? Thanksgiving changes everything. How can I say that? Well, go back to Ephesians 5, verse 19, or verse 20 again. He says, giving thanks always and for everything. Now, one thing I said recently in our Sunday morning mustard seeds class is, you know, sometimes a mistake with our communication is we speak in absolutes. And what I meant by that is, you know, a lot of times we'll say, nothing good ever happens to me. It's never ever do things go the way I want them. We speak in these absolutes. Everybody's against me. But usually when we speak in absolutes, how do we speak in absolutes? We speak in the negative, don't we? As soon as one thing goes wrong, everything's gone wrong. As soon as one person's difficult, everybody's against me. And a common temptation in life is to live in those absolutes. But here's an absolute that we should live by. The absolute of Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks when? Always. For what? For everything. Everything. Now, Paul, you know not everything is good in life. Well, maybe not everything is good, but as soon as I begin to look at everything with an attitude of gratitude and thanksgiving, it changes the way I see everything. And it certainly changes the way I see, let's start with just the material world. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 4, this verse will be on the screen as well. Paul there writes, for everything, again he speaks in these absolutes, everything created by God is good and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with what? With thanksgiving. When we look at the material world today, whether it's the stuff that we ourselves possess or just the stuff that's out there in general, do we look at this is all good stuff because it all came from God? Or do we look at life and situations and even maybe the created world and say, it's just not good enough? And fail to give thanks and be grateful. As James will say in James 1:17, every good and perfect gift, who's it come from? It comes from God. It's not about me. It's not even about my fellow man, even though sometimes we do stuff with the things that God gives us to bless other people. Ultimately, all this stuff goes back to God, and it should direct my attention back to Him. As I read this passage, everything created by God is good. This passage is largely about the material world. In the United States, you think about just from a material perspective, when it comes just to the physical things of life, how much we have. And then how often do we find ourselves complaining and not being content and not being grateful? Do you realize that the median per capita income in the United States, now when I say this, I'm talking about every single person. I'm talking about newborn babies. I'm talking about senior citizens. The average, the median, that means the 50th percentile in the United States, per capita income is $15,000. Some people might hear that and say, like, that doesn't sound like a whole lot. Well, that's taking all of us, okay? Even people who don't work. You take the rest of the world, you know what the median per capita income is? It's $3,000. That means 50% of us are above $15,000, and 50% of the rest of the world are under $3,000 a year, and there are many parts of the world that's under $1,000 per year. Now you begin to think about that, and consider how often we complain about material things. How often we talk about the stuff that we don't have, or the stuff that talk about and complain about taxes. I don't agree 100% with our tax system. But I'm doing five times on average, and I realize that the average isn't true of every person in this room and every person in our country. But on average, we're doing five times better than everybody else in the world. And we complain and whine and think about what we don't have. I look at my next door neighbor, he's got a nicer car than me. She's got a bigger house than me. How's your life going from just a material perspective? Again, I am not making light, and I don't want to overlook the fact that there are people who are certainly struggling in our society. But on average, we're doing a whole lot better than the vast majority of the world. And so if I learn to be more thankful and grateful for what I have, even if it, in comparison, doesn't seem like a whole lot, it will change everything for me. It will change my perspective on everything. This next passage up here from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, Paul says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in what? In all circumstances." Do you see a common denominator in Paul's language? He speaks in absolutes when it comes to giving thanks. Giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of Christ Jesus for you. God's will for us is to be thankful. And then the very next thing he says is, do not quench the Spirit. I find that interesting in light of what we're talking about this morning. That being filled with the Spirit is often found in gratitude. And you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. As soon as Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances, this is God's will for you, he turns around and says, and don't quench the Spirit. Maybe part of our problem is we have quenched the Spirit by not being grateful, by not being thankful. And as I say these things, I've especially talked about physical and material things, but I'm speaking from personal experience here. I think sometimes my lack of gratitude, my lack of thanksgiving, has often been because I focus too much on physical things, whether it's being thankful for the things I have or think about the things I don't have. But thinking too much about physical things and overlooking another absolute. And that is the fact that all the spiritual blessings, they come from God. Go back to Ephesians. This time, Ephesians chapter 1. If you're in chapter 5, just turn back a page or two. Ephesians chapter 1. With all these things we've said about material blessings and per capita income, you know what these things are? They're just temporary things. It's just stuff. We're not going to take it with us. And from an eternal perspective, they have no value. Gold will be worth nothing when it comes to judgment. All the stuff that we keep in our closets, in our garages, in our attics, that's not going to do us any good when Christ returns. He's got far better things waiting for us. Not waiting for us, he's got better things for us right now. And maybe sometimes we overlook them. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with what? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Some spiritual blessings, a few, no, every spiritual blessing. And these blessings, as you read Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says, I want you to know that this is the good stuff. This is the best of the best. This is the stuff for which we ultimately should be thankful. In verse 13, he continues by talking about the Holy Spirit. It says, in Christ you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. To the praise of his glory. Paul there says, when you put on Christ, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. And what is part of that sealing? What is the Holy Spirit doing for you? He is a guarantee. He is a down payment. He is to fill our hearts and our lives in such a way that we live with a sense of gratitude now, but we also live in hope for what is yet to come, for the best things of all, the fulfillment of all these promises. And when we put all these things together, we should just be filled with joy and praise and thanksgiving. And so my circumstances, I can be thankful in all circumstances, even if my circumstances aren't the best. Even if my circumstances don't compare to my neighbors. Even if my circumstances don't compare maybe to other people throughout the world. I can still be thankful and grateful and filled with joy and filled with the Spirit. Because I have something better than all the things the world could ever offer or provide. I have God. I have His Son. I have His Spirit. And especially with His Spirit, I'm growing in Christ. I'm seeing Him more clearly. I'm understanding Him more fully. And I'm living for Him with greater gratitude. And actually, that's the exact thing that Paul prays for the church in Ephesus. If you go down to verse 16, he says, there's another thing I'm thankful for, and it's you all. He says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. He says, and here's what I want for you as I give thanks. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. That the Spirit will fill you up with a greater knowledge of God and His Son. And as you grow in Him in those ways, thanksgiving and gratitude, they're just going to be natural byproducts. And they will continue to be used to change us, to be more in the image of Christ. This morning we have so many reasons to give thanks. But even if we didn't have anything else in this world, if all we had was Christ, we would still have all reason to give thanks. This morning, if you need to come to Him to have your life changed, because you acknowledge that you have sin, and the only way to have your sin addressed and done away with is to come to Christ, to be washed in the waters of baptism for your sins because of His sacrifice and His blood that cleanses you, and to be raised as a new person in newness of life, living with new thinking. Part of that new thinking is being grateful. If you've never become a Christian, we hope you make that decision. For those of us who are Christians, let us give thanks. Not just one day, not just one week, but always, for everything, in all circumstances. And when we do, it will change us. It will help us to be more like Christ. If you need Him this morning in any way, please come forward while we stand and sing.